A network. It's I, Adam, back again with another Pilot Network podcast. This time, we're still talking about Airline 101. This is the five-part series. I think it's going to be five parts, where we talk a little bit about what happens kind of after you get the job and how to progress in your airline career. Pardon me, I have a little bit of a cold, so not only is my voice the normal annoying voice that you hear, it's got a little rasp to it, even more so than normal. I'll try not to cough or anything like that and get too gross in this little delivery. Anyways, this one's going to be a little bit shorter than the first one. We talked about hiring after the CJO and then your in-doc and training and stuff like that and kind of how you're going to progress through that and then go out and crush, I think I said, in that podcast, that episode. This episode is more about the actual grind. So this is your kind of your monthly bid, what happens after you get your schedule, vacation bidding, your yearly training. For most people, that's going to be every 9 months or so. Other places still do like the yearly check ride thing. It just depends on what airline you're at and how they accomplish those goals for training and stuff like that. So let's jump right in and get down to the grinding it out of the month-to-month schedule of an airline pilot. My perspective on the true schedule of an airline pilot, it basically runs in a cycle. At my airline, it starts in the very beginning of the month. You will see your bid pack or bid package come out, and you'll have the opportunity to look through that package and see what trips are available for your fleet. So let's just say you are on an Airbus 320 out of, let's just pick a random base for, let's just pick like O'Hare or something like that. So you would look, you'd go to your, you're going to go to your company's website, and in some way they're going to have a bid package. And that package could be a PDF document. It could be a digital sorted kind of document. Some places use all the majors use PBS, which is preferential bid system. And depending on who they have their software with, you can actually sort and file what kind of trips that you're interested in, whether it's 1 day trips, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, 5 day, whatever the length is. And then you can sort based on other things like dates, layover destinations, credit time, block flying, deadheads, legs per day. I mean, there's a million different ways you can sort that. That would be a whole nother podcast we could do with somebody who's way smarter on that stuff than me. Might be a good idea to get a PBS expert on here and have that discussion as we get more people hired into the airlines as this wave and this boom, I guess you could say, really grows. My perspective is with bidding, get smart on it fast. So there's a number of ways to do this. I have tried almost all of these. So you can take my mistakes and apply them to yourself. One is you can trial and error it. Cannot recommend this. Not a great idea. If you trial and error bid, you're probably going to get hosed pretty quickly. One thing that you'll notice as in PBS, as opposed to traditional line bidding is some of the other airlines out there have it. I think FedEx still does traditional line bidding, and Southwest may do that as well, but I'm not entirely sure, so don't take my word for it. With traditional line bidding, you actually have a line filled with a schedule and you pick the lines, rank order on which ones you like, which ones are the best for you. PBS is you put together a bunch of your preferences and then the computer will gonculate that out and spit out what it thinks is best suited to your preferences. One of the big problems with PBS is it's not really a problem, not in my opinion. You have to learn the algorithm of what your PBS system is to, well, that was redundant. You have to understand what your PBS gives you so you can apply it and then bid appropriately from that point forward. So for instance, I know some PBS software does things like it honors the negatives first. So you know, avoid this, avoid that, and then it awards after that. Some are inverse. I don't know how each one of them work. Again, this is not necessarily a bidding 101, that would be way too much and way more than I'm not even a scientist at this stuff. I'm still, I would consider a novice. Another thing a novice can do, and I've done this, is I've actually had somebody bid for me. I've paid for an outsider to look at what I had, and they understood the software a lot better than I did, and they told me how to put my bid in. You could do that for a while and learn what they're doing and then bid yourself based off of that sequence. That's one way to do it. I would say on some fleets and bases, it will work better than others. On your international side, I didn't see a huge difference, so I don't really know if it's that worthwhile. Being an international guy myself, that doesn't really apply that well for me. It didn't do that much, but if it's something you're interested in, you can search those out. Your company may even have like a one that a lot of people use for them in particular that's specific to your company. So the third way is to find somebody who's really smart on PBS. And most of those people are either A, people you're going to fly with, B, in the union, or C, they're in the company who actually helped build the system out and tweak it and keep it up and running. I know that our union and our company has a PBS helpline, and you can call them during bid and they will actually walk you through stuff and help you bid your schedule out. And they do a great job at it. I've talked to those people before. They are impressive. They know their stuff inside and out. That is a really good way to kind of learn how to bid so you can move forward and then start having something to build off of from that way. So that's one way to get smart on bidding. The other thing is once you do it a few times, when you're really junior and you're brand new, you're probably not going to get what you want all the time. Like, you want weekends off, you're probably not going to get that right away. But you'll soon learn that there are loopholes in the PBS system that you can kind of utilize to your advantage as a junior guy to help get you a better schedule and time off and days off that you want going forward. Also, how to bid reserve creatively so the company's not using you every single day you're on reserve. So you can actually get more days off than what you originally have because you have reserve days blocked certain ways and you know how to use those. Again, that's very company specific. It's very fleet specific. It's very base specific. And it's also month to month specific. In summer, a lot of times you're not going to have a lot of options. You're just going to be flying the line a lot. In other months, like in the winter months, February, sometimes March, you may not fly that much at all. So you really got to know what your company and your base and your fleet, what they're doing. And you'll learn that osmotically by just picking up from other people. But if you want to accelerate that, you kind of got to get in and read the documents that are out there in your company's handbook and stuff like that about PBS for your company, and then talk to the union. That'll really help you get smart on that kind of stuff fast. And that will help you then in the next phase after you get your schedule and it comes out and it's populated, and either you're going to read it like on a PDF document that says when it first comes out and before it transfers to your scheduling system. When it transfers to your scheduling system, you'll actually be able to see it in that calendar format. Then it gets into all the other fun stuff. So let's say after you get your schedule, that might be sometime in the first couple of months, like week or week and a half. Some schedules come out really early. Some come kind of out mid-month. It just depends on your airline. My airline's around mid-month normally. And right after we get that, you get a chance to kind of review your schedule. And you can immediately go into open time and the swap board and start looking at what you might want to swap trips out for and stuff like that. So what I normally do is I'll take a look at my schedule. I'll go in and take a look at our swap board because I know I can swap right away with somebody and see if there's anything on the swap board that looks better to me than the trips I got, if I didn't get something I liked, or if there's something that's out there that I can just pick up, straight pick up that somebody wants to get rid of, and then I can utilize that to either make more money or whatever, build my schedule to a larger credit if I decide to do that. Some of these terms may not make sense to you guys who aren't yet in the airline stuff. But that's okay. We can break all this down in another airline 101 at a different time. We can actually go through a whole glossary of terms, and that'll really blow your mind. Blew my mind the first time I had to figure all this stuff out. Then what I can do is I can put in my premium pay qualifiers for the whole month. Like, let's say I want to any day that I'm available to fly, I want to put in saying, hey, I want to fly premium for the company, which means I can make a lot of extra money. I can throw that in, and then I can take a look at how that'll play out with the rest of my schedule, you know, stuff, family, kids, soccer games, whatever. And I can kind of play that all together and see what comes out in the wash. And then as I move in To the end of the month, that'll stuff will start to settle down a little bit as I'm getting ready to execute my next month, my next month of flying. And then if something comes up, like, let's say I get sick, or there's something that comes up that's, I may have to do in our company, we have sick call like everybody else has. We have a certain amount of hours that we can utilize towards calling in sick before we have to go in to see a doctor or anything like that, get a doctor's note, stuff like that. There's other stuff that does occur where you might be able to personal drop trips or call the chief pilot's office if you have some sort of, like a death in the family or something very unexpected and traumatic. There's other ways to go about kind of getting rid of trips if you need to because of something in the family that's happened. And so it's really good to work with your chief pilot's office when things like that occur. So that's kind of like the month-to-month stuff. Now there's yearly annual stuff that you have to kind of pay attention to. So once a year, I say this sort of, but not really just once a year. There's other things that are out there. There's training, your vacation. There might be bid vacancies as to upgrade or different fleets, different bases. And then there's a ton more, but we'll just cover those couple things right now. Just because they're kind of the big, the closest alligators to the boat, I would say. So for training, you can put in our PBS, a default bid of stuff that you don't want to do. When you do that, then you can say like, hey, I don't want any really late or really early sim periods. I prefer to train these days of the week. I prefer these kind of events at this time, that kind of thing. Again, that's more of a bidding specific thing, but you can put that in early. That way, if you come to a training, when you come into your training window, you can actually volunteer to go early, like the month early before you're required to be there. Some places have grace months, I believe you can bid that too. Again, I'm not real sure on that stuff. I've never had to exercise any of that, so I don't really bid. I normally just go for the month that I'm due training, and then I normally have a default bid in there because I'm not real specific on training bids. Vacation's a different story. Vacation I am real specific on. The problem with vacation is being super junior in category, I bid only within my category, and then that means I'm stuck pretty much with whatever comes out of the bottom. One of the things about vacation is that's a once a year bid in most companies. My company is not excluded in that. We'll bid once a year. We'll bid our primary through how many of our weeks vacation we have. So we'll bid our first round, then second round, third round, up to five rounds for us. We have 5 weeks vacation. So we bid that kind of stuff out. And then what we'll do is we get our vacation notated in our schedule. It says what our vacation weeks are for the next year, next calendar year coming up. Or I shouldn't say calendar year. It's like the next bid calendar year, which runs a little bit off the regular calendar, about 2 months, 3 months, I think. So then with that, then I can go back in. And when I bid out my schedule, I can actually slide vacation days around within those months that I have them. And then I can actually bid later. And this is where you need to kind of pay attention to your bidding schedule as far as it goes. And this is part of that grind where, hey, I want to shift a vacation week that I have in the beginning of November to the 4th of July. All right, there's a chance, probably a good chance, I'm not going to get the 4th of July right out of the chute, but I may have a chance later on to rebid that vacation. So I could check and see when that's due and then just put that vacation bid in there if this is how your company does it and see if it'll trigger that. And I can pick that vacation up and swap those weeks because maybe somebody left a week in there and wanted to bid out of that week for whatever reason. Some folks will want to do that. I've actually picked up a 4th of July vacation because of that. So it does happen. It's kind of it's one of those things that's part of that grind where you need to kind of check in a little bit more than you think you would. Again, we're not talking like being back at the desk in the military or working the desk job for somebody else. This takes maybe 5 to 10 minutes of your day. If you really want to put a lot of time into it, maybe 15 minutes. So these are the kind of things that might take a little bit more time and that I check probably once a month or once every other month to see if I want to swap stuff out like that. Vacancy bids for some people, they're called different things at different places. This is your upgrade, your different fleets. Normally your company will make a pretty big announcement on their website and then you can go from that and you'll be able to easily see, hey, I want to upgrade or it's time for me. I want to get off the 320 and move to the right or the left seat of the 7576 or whatever the case is. That's where you're going to do that kind of stuff. So those aren't really, those come in different styles and sequences. Some companies have very rigid when they send those out. Others are more, kind of just depends on what their network is driving, what kind of loads they have at certain places, and what kind of schedule they're looking at for 12 months, 18 months out. A lot of stuff is normally, for those of you who don't know, if you're flying for a passenger airline, it's driven by what the summer schedule is going to look like. So they'll drive a lot for the summer workload, whereas your box haulers are driving a lot for the holiday workload. So those are kind of the two different animals there. It's not set in stone that way, but from what I've seen over my years, again, this is all my dumb opinion. I am not an expert on any of this stuff, just been around it for a little while. So this is what I've seen. It's, you know, all just my perspective. There's a lot of little more intricacies on the monthly bidding process, as far as little changes here and there and what you might do as far as swapping trips out and all that kind of stuff. Again, that's more bidding and company specific. We could get somebody on from each company to do that. That would be like 15 podcasts that we could do for each company. And it would get super boring for those who aren't, or it might be really interesting, because this is stuff that you can always take back to your company and then vote accordingly to make sure that you have these kind of things available to you. And you can run for union office and say, hey, this is what I'm running on. We need long-term disability to age 65 or something like that, whatever the case might be, which, yes, that does exist out there. For those of you who didn't know that, and for those of you who don't know what that is, you're going to learn about that as you go forth in this career field. And then the last piece of all this is lather, rinse, repeat, then retire. That's right. This is pretty much your month to month. Be doing this for quite a while. It makes it very routine, which is nice, because you will understand the process and you will be able to run through that. That part is the most routine part as an airline pilot. And also, in my opinion, once you get this down to roughly a science, where it's just, I'm just starting to enter that realm. I always like to say there's the experimenter, the scientist, and then the artist. I have friends who are artists in this world who I am just in awe of what they can pull off, being junior folks in their category. And then there's people like me who don't pull off those things as well in their schedule. I'm just not as smart as those folks. With that said, though, when you combine all this together, you do get into what can be a grind. And one way out of that grind is to look at it in a different way, break it up, take your vacation, utilize it to do things that are beneficial for you and the family. Don't look at it like, okay, I got to put my bid in and same crap next month. Change it up. In my opinion, that's what I do. When I get kind of bored with something, or I'm like, oh man, I'm doing the same trips over and over again, I'll change it up. I'll bid something way out of whack. I'll try to fly at different times of the week, because sometimes in my category, you'll see the same folks, and just helping get new people in there. Sometimes I'll go and bid reserve instead of a line, which in my category, you can kind of flex in and out of. It's not the hardest thing to do. It's actually harder to bid reserve sometimes in the winter months than it is to bid a line. So sometimes just changing up something like that will help, especially if you're really senior at most companies. If you're senior and you're sitting reserve, you're not going to get used as much. So maybe get a little bit more time at home to focus on some things around the house if that's what you want to do. Again, though, that's part of the grind piece of the airline stuff, something that a lot of folks aren't necessarily huge fans of, but it comes with the territory of being an airline pilot. So that's kind of the monthly grind. It's that bidding on your schedule and then going in and checking your schedule and seeing what's out there to swap and change in and out of, and utilize that to exercise premium pay options or to exercise more time off. And then that yearly annual bidding of vacation and training, and maybe not so much annually, biannually, or maybe even three or four times a year bidding to new categories of aircraft or new domiciles, possibly upgrading to a different aircraft from one to another. And then that, just doing it month in, month out, year in, year out, and going through that whole process. That's kind of the grind. That's what people will tend to complain about a little bit, but it's part of the process. And honestly, it doesn't take very much time and effort once you've kind of got it figured out. So figure it out early, and then you won't have to worry about it as you continue on in your career. That's one of the things that's beautiful about the whole airline industry. And the final thing I'll talk about in the grind is, if it gets really painful for you and you still have military duty that you want to go out and do or that they need you to do, you have military leave to help break some of that up. Sure, you're going to probably lose some pay, but it's there, and that is your USARA right. And you need to keep current and qualified and all that good stuff, too, if you're going to be a Guard Reserve individual. And the other side of that, too, is a lot of companies, when they have coverage, they offer personal leaves of absences for the off months. Those are really, really great to go out and utilize if you want to go do something that's very different. I know of somebody who takes full advantage of personal leave of absences for months at a time, and he and his wife go travel the world and do some pretty far out stuff. That's just their what they can do because they have other options on the side where they have other businesses going on. So those are things that you can kind of get into and see where it takes you. That is the monthly and annual schedule, if you will, in a very small nutshell. I really glossed over a lot of things there. And if you have questions about that, you can always hit us up at heyguys@thepilotnetwork.com. And we're happy to answer any questions or have a conversation. Let's get on the horn and talk about it. And for those of you out there who are looking for that next job, looking to be the final job, we are going to keep announcing this. We're super excited that we're having TPNX again, the 23rd and the 24th of April in Orlando, Florida at the airport this year. We're hoping to have a lot of folks there. We're going to have roughly 400 tickets available per day for everybody who wants to come. We're going to have Delta and American, Southwest have all confirmed that they're going to be there. American and Delta are actually going to be doing resume reviews and one-on-one conversations with candidates who are interested in participating. They'll be able to sign up with us through a scheduling system, and they'll have a time and be able to get in there. We have lots of other stuff going on, too. We have educational seminars in regards to this airline one-on-one stuff where you'll have direct questions to actual folks flying the line. We're going to have the ability to do some interview kind of large-scale preparation stuff where you'll be able to get some tips and tricks from some pros from Spitfire Elite, who are a different career consultation service out there founded by Bill Sims and Tron Williams, two excellent experts in the field. So they're gonna be there as well. We're also gonna do some resume review stuff in mass, and then some smaller things with Checked and Set and Charlie Venema. They're gonna be there as well. We also have a ton of other vendors that are gonna show up, talking everything from real estate investing for aviation professionals and mortgage options, stuff like that, for you to be able to do that kind of stuff with some of our vendor sponsors. And then folks like Milkeep and Milta ATP being there to talk about how to get your ATP and your CTP done rapidly if you don't have it complete, and how to get your records all put together from the people like at Milkeep, and a host of others. We're working on more vendors to help provide the best bag options for you and stuff like that. So when you get out on that on the line, you're all ready to go. We're going to have some discounts if you're a TPN Pro member. So you'll want to check that out if you're interested in discounts and early sign up. And there's going to be some other really cool things that we're piecing together right now. And of course, it's a party too. We're going to have drinks and a lot of fun on our time off. It's going to be a very busy weekend, a very fun weekend. Again, that's going to be the 23rd and the 24th of April in Orlando. We're looking forward to meeting as many networkers as we can and helping you figure out that final job situation. So if you're interested, go and check out TPN Pro, and that's where you'll be able to get that early sign up. Or if you just have questions, hit us up at heyguys@thepilotnetwork.com. And we'll try to get back to you as soon as we can. Thank you again for everything that you do, Network, for keeping the skies safe and flying our families and friends around, our boxes getting places. For all you military folks out there, thank you for what you do, defending our nation in all these very chaotic times. We appreciate that. And as always, keep that shiny side up, greasy side down. Fly safe, everybody.